The Holy Bible is full of wisdom through and through. This morning's scripture reading will be coming from the portion of Bible that has become known as the Book of Wisdom. And that would be Proverbs chapter 1. The verses will be 7 through 10. Again, that's Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. And I will be reading from the King James Version. And the Bible reads, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." May God continue to bless those who hear his word, but especially the doers of his will.
We'll let you know if you're visiting with us. We're glad for you being here. If you notice the QR code that is on the screen, you will be able to ascertain the notes. We did have some notes copied for those members that do not have that ability. And if you are one of those from this point forward, let us know, and we'll make sure that you'll get the paper copy of the electronical notes. Been talking about wisdom, and we know that having the ability to see the end at the beginning is very important. Having that ability to have the information needed in order to make good decisions is vitally important. On this morning, as we consider wisdom in the family or in the home, I am sensitive to the fact that I understand that I will be dealing with the ideal. I will be discussing the ideal. That everyone's situation will not be addressed in the words that will come forth from my mouth. But I'm sensitive to that. And we want to say from the onset that this lesson is not designed to stir up any type of emotions that will cause you distress. However, when we understand the will of God in the home, the family, God has always dealt with the ideal, and the wisdom that he has left us helps us with that which is not ideal, not the norm. And so again, for the third time, I stress the sensitivity to that fact. When we consider Proverbs chapter 1 and the book of Proverbs holistically, we understand that Solomon, for the most part, is the author, inspired by the Holy Spirit himself. We understand that Solomon is talking to his son, Rehoboam, giving him words of encouragement, exhortation, admonition, warning. And when we consider this particular book dealing with the conduct of an individual in their life, here Solomon spoke many proverbs according to 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 through verse number 34. He was a wise man. He was one that exercised great wisdom. He was one that asked for wisdom. He did not ask for great riches, but he asked for wisdom in order to guide the people of God. And so as I was considering this particular week and the home, I was considering the fear of the Lord and how the fear of the Lord is actually the foundation of life. When we consider the fear of the Lord in Proverbs 1, verses 7 through verse 10, appreciate our dear brother reading those passages in our hearing. We understand that it is the beginning of knowledge, but it's the beginning of other things as well. And we'll discuss those things here in a few minutes. If you have your notes, I'll be looking at those, going by those, and hopefully we'll stay as close to the script as possible. Yet we understand in the beginning when God created male and female, he created them for a purpose. And the wisdom of God was right there next to him, personified as a female in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 22. God would make man in his image after his likeness and would give him orders, commands, admonition, if you will, to be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. And so we see that the Bible is clear that God wanted man to do some things. God gave man rationale. In Genesis 2 and verse number 18, he said it's not good for man to be alone. Why? Because he gave him rationale, which helped him in his relationships. And when we think about that, God wants man to be relational, which demonstrates to us that God never intended for man to be by himself. And when I say man, I'm talking about humankind. However, in the beginning, when God created the man, he said himself, after he had named all of the animals and he saw that there was no one there like him, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. And so what did God do through his wisdom? He created a female, or he made a female to be more precise. He created man from the dust of the ground, but put man to sleep, Adam to sleep, and brought forth a woman from his rib. And when Adam rose up, he said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was brought forth from the man. And so when we think about that, God himself made man a companion, someone compatible, someone who is complementary to him. And God, as we think about his great wisdom, did not just make man and leave him to be gallivanting along the way, to be a vigilante, to one that is just going about doing what he desires. No, God created a home for him, created the garden for him to live. And that place would be the focal point of God himself. If you take notice in the notes that I gave you in Genesis 2 and verse number 9, you would see that the focal point would be the tree of life in the midst of the garden. God would be represented by the tree. And as long as that tree was there, they would live. As long as they would keep the commands of God, the command of God to be more precise, they would be able to eat of that tree and live forever and thus have proper representation in the midst of the garden. God always wanted to be in the midst of his people. As a matter of fact, God is in the midst of his people even to this day. He has left us his word. He has left us his presence. And God would walk through the cool of the day, as Genesis 3 and verse number 8 implies, which demonstrates to us that God wasn't aloof to what was going on. God wasn't at a distance. God was right there with his creation. Why? Because God has always wanted a relationship with his creation, with his people, with those who were made in his image. But then God gave man choice. Genesis 2 and verse number 9, as we discover verse 16 and 17, God did not make man robots, but God made man conscious creatures, made them to a point that they could make a decision whether to love him or not, to abide with him or not, to do what he says or not. And so God gave him choice. But then God gave man opportunities to work. Genesis 2:15. He didn't tell man, okay, here is the garden, lounge around and do nothing all day. Oh, no. He told him to till the ground. He told him to work the garden, if you will. He gave him a job, which is very fulfilling, to make him feel accomplished, to fulfill his life, that he may enjoy the fruit of his labor. Friends, God is a good God, that he created man in such a way that he wanted him to have fulfillment in life. But in Genesis 2, 24 and 25, God didn't only make man relational. God made man to desire companionship, to have someone close to him. And so in Genesis 2 and verse 24 and 25, as I alluded to before, God made man in a way that he desired someone. And brethren, when we stop and we consider this magnificent point, and we think about the wisdom of God and the beauty of what is being shared with us here, here the Bible demonstrates to us, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Brethren, when we consider these great words, we understand that God again made him relational, but God made man to have a desire for companionship as well. Which demonstrates to us that a man doesn't have to get married, but if he desires to have a companion, this is what he needs to do. And so when we think about the home, friends, the home, listen to this, is the wisdom of God for the world. The home would demonstrate the beauty and the oneness and the unity to the world. The home would show the world the need for dependence upon God and his family or their family. The home would exemplify the forgiveness and long-suffering needed to thrive and to strive. And the home would be God's moral culture and example, here it is, to the church and to the world at large. I said all of that because the home, especially in these days and times in America, unfortunately, we have gotten away from God's mandate. Unfortunately, we have gotten away from the very wisdom of God, which teaches us that we should fear the Lord. The idea of fear there is the idea of reverence, respect, honor. And so for a few minutes, I want us to talk about the fear of the Lord and the home. Point number one, the home, when we consider the home and the fear of the Lord, wisdom in the home begins with the fear of the Lord, with reverence towards God, respect towards God. God is the one to be honored, to be glorified. And when we think about this, brethren, we understand that the home is definitely supposed to be a promoter of the fear of the Lord, to choose the fear of the Lord. And the very fact that we can choose to fear the Lord demonstrates to us that we can choose not to fear the Lord, not to respect God, not to allow ourselves to submit to his will and his authority in our lives. It's so important for the home to do this, because when this is done, God is glorified, the church is edified, and the world is notified that God exists. And God does exist. And how do we know that God exists? Because the home is in the world. That's another reason and another way that we can prove that there is a God in heaven, because we see family. We see family. So in Proverbs 29 and verse number 15, this is why, as parents, you have the awesome responsibility to not leave your children alone. Why? Because when children are left to themselves, they bring shame to their mother, to their parents. Brethren, it's so important. If you look at your note there, I say this is true for the husband and wife. When the wife is left alone for too long, then she becomes lonely. There's a difference between being alone and being lonely. When the husband is left alone too long, then they're left to themselves. This is not good. They become lonely. The wisdom of God demonstrates to us, friends, that he wants us to be a unit. He wants us to be one. He wants us to be like, them. The greatest example of the home, the greatest example of a family, is the Godhead themselves. Why is that? Because they always get along with each other. They always see eye to eye with each other. They're always in unity, in unison with one another. There's never a power struggle amongst them, and they always want what is best for one another. And so the home is a place where the holiness of God is promoted and demonstrated and uplifted. There's so many blessings when it comes to the fear of the Lord. there's stability. There is knowledge. There is the prolonging of life. There is guidance. There's happiness. There's true treasure in the wisdom and the fear of the Lord. Let's take a time out. Let's stop for a second and let you ponder that. Because I truly believe that we spent so much time away from the Word of God. I'm talking about America, not here, not in this congregation. But if the shoe fit, put them on, tie it up, tie it tight. But we spent so much time away from the Word of God that we don't even know how to fear God anymore. We don't even blush at sin anymore. Brethren, the family is God's moral culture to the church. The family is God's moral culture to the world. And when you have families that have their stuff together, that the husband and the wife are fearing the Lord, and they're teaching the fear of the Lord to their children, they bring that attitude to the ecclesia, the called out, the church of our Lord. And then you have a group of people who have manifested this mentality of striving to have the right mentality toward God, the respect toward God, honoring God. And they bring that with them. And then you have a bunch of people that are striving to fear the Lord together, holding one another accountable, helping one another through trials and troubles and struggles and tribulation in life. Sounds like the home. Sounds like the wisdom of God at work. And so when we think about the home and the fear of the Lord, we understand that sin and foolishness is discouraged in the home when the fear of the Lord is exercised. Brethren, did you hear what I said? Brothers and sisters in Christ, friends and family, it is so important for us to recognize sin and foolishness. Why? Because we understand that sin is transgression of God's law, and all unrighteousness is sin. And he that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him is sin. And so we want to keep those things out of the home, and we want to nip it in the bud as soon as we see it. We want to hurry up and get it out of Ecclesiastes 8 and verse number 11. Why? Because we don't want sin permeating in our hearts, in our minds. Yea, the home. We don't want that. Why? Because it destroys. So Jesus got it right again when he said in John 10 verse 10, for the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, I come that you have, may have life and have it more abundantly. What are we saying? Brethren, if the home is going to be all that it needs to be, it's going to require us being very vigilant and diligent. It's going to require us humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. It's going to require us not walking according to our own wisdom, but the wisdom of the Lord. I see why there's so many tragedies in the home. I see why there are so many disgusting things going on in the home. Because the wisdom of God has been kicked like a football through the uprights. The wisdom of God is not even considered. The wisdom of God has become man's own wisdom. Yet wisdom has great benefits. We stop and we consider this and we think about the wisdom of God. Why? Because it actually teaches me to depart from evil, to leave foolishness alone. 28 and verse number 28. I see it coming. I remember on one occasion, I said this before and I'll say it again. Mama taught me, son, I'm trying to teach you. So when you see stupid coming, you can get out the way. You know, God is teaching us. If we study his word, if we show ourselves approved, if we give ourselves wholly to the word of God, God says, I'm teaching you. So when you see sin coming, you can jump out the way and you just let it pass on by. But what has happened? We have redefined some things. We have relabeled some things. We have renamed some things. And now men don't even know what sin looks like. Yet we understand that the family is to depart from evil, to leave sin alone, to leave foolishness alone. Why? Because if anything, we need to be like what Paul was telling Timothy. Pursue righteousness. Pursue holiness. For without holiness, no one sees the Lord. Pursue that. Run after that. Chase that. Brethren, what should we be chasing? We ought to be chasing righteousness. Turn to Ecclesiastes 8. Ecclesiastes 8. I put verse number 1, but that's not right. now that I'm looking at it, should be verse number 11. Verse number 1 is actually a good verse, though. That's actually a good verse there. Because when man has the proper interpretation, man has the proper application. That's a good verse right there. That's free. You ain't got to give me nothing for that. But verse number 11 is the verse that I actually want. So go ahead and put that in right now. And you'll see a change on your QR code right there. I just changed it. So in verse number 11, this is what happened when the fear of the Lord is not strong in the house. We allow sin and foolishness to go unchecked. Brethren, you cannot allow sin and foolishness to go unchecked in the home. You can't allow that to go unchecked even in your own personal lives. You can't allow it to go unchecked. Why? Notice what verse number 11 says, Ecclesiastes 8. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Brethren, what are we saying? As fathers, we have a responsibility to make sure that we are paying attention to our home. As mothers, we have a responsibility to pay attention to the home. As children, we have a responsibility to pay attention to our parents. Brethren, there's a responsibility, and when sin goes unchecked, or when we turn a blind eye to sin in the life of the family, of the home, then it's just like anything else. It grows. That bad attitude that your child may demonstrate to you, nip it in the bud early. That talking back, nip that in the bud early. That's not cute. Those words that may come out their mouths that are not holy and godly and upright, talk to them about that. But don't destroy the soul of the child. Don't crush their spirit. Don't harm their future. Because if you do that, they become undisciplined and out of control. But it has to be checked. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is being taught. And brethren, the fear of the Lord is the key to life. When one fears the Lord, one has balance and compassion and mercy and stability and sternness. And truth, when one fears the Lord, we need more of this even in the Lord's church. My brother or my sister, Brother Royce, may do something wrong. I'm not trying to destroy them. I'm trying to help them. Amen? When your child does something wrong, don't destroy them. Teach them. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from them. That teaches us that rod and that staff, Psalm 23, that comforts is the word of God, properly applied, properly understood, properly read, properly shared with your family, with your children, understanding that they come into this world knowing nothing, Romans 9 and verse number 11. And as a young child, they know nothing, Deuteronomy 1 verse 39. Yet they can learn the will of God, Isaiah 7, verse 15 and 16, which teaches us, friend, pay attention, please, because you're going to need this. You're going to need this. I wish I had some of these things when I was a father, young father. Probably wouldn't have to do so much apologizing along the way. But maybe when they're just not paying attention enough. Brethren, when you understand the fear of the Lord, you understand God's will, and so you deal with things when they happen. You don't just let it slide. Joshua Rodriguez, preacher in Fremont, California, said something that I thought was pretty interesting. He said, we have too many brothers in the church going unchecked. And it made me think about family. We have too many children going unchecked. Too many husbands going unchecked. Too many wives going unchecked. Proverbs 9 and verse number 8, Reprove a wise man and he'll rebuke a wise man and he'll love you. Reprove a scorner and he'll hate you. Brethren, you have to teach your children how to be wise men by putting the wisdom of God in their hearts. Brethren, you got to check them. But you don't have to kill them in the process. Why? Because God wants that child saved. We want to teach our children to honor consistency and respect authority. Again, these are the ideals. I know how it is to have a child out of wedlock. I know how it is to pay 18 years of child support. I know how it is to have visitation rights. And none of that's pretty. None of it's pretty. Teach your children that if you're going to have children, get married. That's from someone who didn't do it right. So if I'm judging, I'm judging myself. Brethren, do it right. Have the same mom and the same daddy as much as humanly possible in the home of the children. Do it right so they can respect authority. So they don't have mindsets and mentalities that are not right, not wholesome. Joshua would have the mentality, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Brethren, that's the mentality that we ought to have. Point number two, the home and the wisdom of God. Turn to Psalm 127. Remember the fear of the Lord. That's what we're teaching. Why do men sin? We'll discuss that. Could it be that they don't fear God? Why do men run rampant in the world that we live in? Could it be that they have not been taught the fear of the Lord? Brethren, God is the one that created the home. God is the one that created mankind. He's the one that wants to navigate the family. And so in Psalm 127 in verse number one, unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord establishes the family, some brethren erroneously uses this particular passage as the church. That's false. The initial point that the psalmist is making is concerning that beautiful entity called the home. The home. And I find it interesting that God created the home before he created government, before he created the church. The home. The wisdom of God in the home, in the family, unless the Lord builds the house. Lord, how will you build the house? By my word. Through submission to my word. He said they labor in vain. Who builds it? Unless the Lord guards, meaning that he keeps the city. The workman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late. He said it is just totally hopeless for you to do that. To eat the bread of sorrows, pain and hardship and hurt and suffering. So he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, look at this. Children are a heritage from the Lord. They're not a ball and chain. They're not a burden. Yet children are a blessing from God. Why is it that we have gone rampant in killing babies in the womb? Why are we doing that? And why will a child of God even consent to it? And so, according to verse number three, we need to have the proper view of children. Children are God's beautiful blessing. I remember when Evelyn and I had those little babies, and even brethren would say, do you have a television? Don't you have a radio? Don't you have something else to do besides make babies? Brethren, this is what they said. These were brethren. And you know what my response was? I thought the Lord loved children. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of children. Could it be that we don't want anything to get in our way, therefore we don't have children? Brethren, children are a blessing. Amen. Saw Brother Dennis back there, and he was holding that beautiful baby girl. his grandbaby. I said, boy, look at that. I took a picture of him. He probably didn't like that. He'll probably send me a text later. I mean, take no picture of me like that. But you know why I took it? That was a beautiful sight. Guess what children are? They are a beautiful sight. So don't listen to this world. Listen to God. They are a heritage from the Lord. In verse number 3, the fruit of the womb is a reward. In the Hebrew, literally, it is God's wages. It is God's wages when we have children, especially when we teach them the wisdom and the fear of the Lord. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, of a brave, strong, mighty man. Arrows. The man has a responsibility of guiding and pointing the child in the right direction. Hopefully that direction is to the Lord. Ultimately, that's all that matters. We told our children, you can be garbage, man. We don't care. Just be faithful to God. Just be faithful. I want my son to be a doctor, a lawyer, blah, blah, this and that. It don't matter. Just be faithful to God. If you're faithful to God, that will govern what you do for a living. We, as men, have the responsibility of guiding our homes in the right direction. We hold children their heritage. The fruit of the womb, arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior, saw the children of one's youth. Children are precious. Verse number 5, happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. You have a lot of kids? God bless you. May God bless you with your kids. But it's not enough just to have kids. You need to put the fear of the Lord in their hearts. So when they raise up, you don't have to worry if they're going to Bible study and going to worship and being faithful to God. Because, brethren, that's all that matters. I remember I was talking to an older lady in San Antonio, and she was talking about all of the accomplishments of her daughter and her son. What's your daughter do? She's a nurse. And what's your son do? Oh, he's a lawyer. He's doing great. Man, that's wonderful. When do they go to worship? She put her head down. They don't. That told me she knew what was important. What's important, brethren? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And so God made man the spiritual leader. Brethren, we need to do our jobs as spiritual leaders. Young men, dads, do your job. Have the mentality, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Have that mentality. Grandparents, love on your grandchildren all you want to, but do your part to help your children, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Do your part. We need more grandparents. We need more parents that are going to point their children to the Lord. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12. I find it very interesting as we attempt to make some type of descend. We see something here that Ecclesiastes teach concerning the value of friendship in the home. Could it be that people don't know how to be friends with other people because maybe they just got their way all their life? Or maybe they didn't receive the fear of the Lord. As a kid, I remember mom saying, sons, share your Tonka truck. Hated that. But she was right. If a child will share their toys, when they get older, they'll share their toys. Here we see in verse number 9, two is better than one. Verse number 10, help is available when friendship is developed. Notice, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him if he who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Your spouse ought to be able to help you up. Your siblings ought to be able to help you up. Before we even run to the Lord's church, our support system ought to help us up. If not, why not? brethren, the Bible is right. And so in verse number 12, we understand, verse number 11, rather, we share our resources. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? The sharing of resources should be taught in the home. We see the wisdom of God in the family. Yes, this may be mine, but I'm willing to share it with you. The gospel salvation system, the gospel system of salvation is mine, no doubt, but I got to share it with other people. Why? Because God wants all men, not y'all men, to be saved. God wants all men to be saved. We got to share what we have. We have this great idea of salvation, this great reward that's awaiting us. We ought to share it with other people. Brethren, if we'll share our material things, we'll share spiritual things. And so in verse number 12, one is not broken when true fellowship is had. Look at the verse. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. When a husband and a wife and God are together, they cannot be broken. When you have great friendship and it's substantiated and founded upon the word of God, Royce, it won't be broken. It won't be broken. No wonder when you think of the Godhead, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, three cannot be broken. You can't separate them. The husband, the wife, and God ought to be able to stand the test of time. Brethren, this is the ideal. We know that death separates families. And again, I'm very sensitive to that. My heart goes out to those who have experienced that. And that's hard. But your relationship with your Father in heaven has to sustain you through that. It has to. Hopefully, just hopefully, we're spending enough time with the Godhead that whatever comes our way, we ought to be able to stand against the terrors of time. Wisdom in the family. Last point, and I'm done. The home and the beautiful roles given by God. Turn to Ephesians 5 as I close. The home. We need more men taking full responsibility for when the home does not work. Take full responsibility. Brother Mike, I don't agree with that. Don't matter. The man needs to do all that he can to save his home. He's the king of the castle. He's the head of the home. He's the spiritual leader. He's the guide. He's the point man. He's out front. God did that. And we live in a nation that has stripped the man from being the man. Chad, that should not be the case. Men ought to be men. And so we see verse 22, wives ought to be in submission, respectful to their husbands. Why? Colossians 3:18, this is fitting to the Lord. The Lord loves when he sees submission. No wonder the bride of Christ is the wife of Jesus Christ, and she's supposed to submit to her head, her husband, the one that God gave her, gave him. And I find it interesting that God had to put Adam to sleep and take a rib out of his side in order to bring the woman. God had to put his son to sleep. And that soldier pierced him in the side and forthwith came in blood and water and purchased the church. Same thing. Same thing. The side had to be open in order for the bride to come out. Brethren, God knows what he's doing. The wife, submit to your husband. Brother Mike, you don't understand my husband. I know. You probably wouldn't want to be married to me 10 years ago, 15 years ago rather. But that's fine. She hung in there. We ain't all what we need to be sometimes, but if you hang in there, just let him grow. He'll come around if he stays in that book. He stays in the Word of God, he'll come around. But I guarantee you, if that man, if he don't spend time in that book, he ain't coming around. He can't come around. Why? Because it's the Word of God that makes men and women come around. Spending time in the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, applying the Word of God. So she needs to be an example of meekness and gentleness. Husbands, love your wives, nurture your wives, cherish your wives. The idea of nurture is the idea of feed your wives. The idea of cherishing is the idea of keeping her warm. Nurture and cherish your wife. No man has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes, just as Christ the church. Brethren, what does the Bible say? The Bible is the wisdom of God. If a man would just do that, he'll save his house. If he'll just do that, he'll guide his house. We know we need to care about the things of this world, but brethren, do you know that if men are not treating their wives right, hear me out. Peter says, according to 1 Peter 3 and verse number 7, your prayers are hindered. God doesn't hear a word you say if you're not treating your wife right. And that's fair. That's fair. A man must treat his wife correct. A wife must respect her husband, be in submission. Why? Because this is the way the church is supposed to be with Christ. Brethren, the Bible is right. Do we believe the wisdom of God? And we live in this world today. It is foolishness that you have so much foolishness. It's foolishness that we have so much foolishness in the world. It's foolishness. What about children? Listen to your parents. They know more than you, even though you may not think so. One brother said this. He said, when my children turned 13, they lost their mind and didn't get it back till they turned 20. That's about right. That's probably about right. Because at 13, you think you know it all. But if you stay close to the Word of God, you'll realize that even at 50, you don't know anything. You know just enough to stay in the good graces of Almighty God. Wisdom in the home. Brethren, we have so much work to do in our land. And I'm so thankful, and the elders here are so thankful for the good group of people here that are striving to keep your families on track. But there's some, your family's not on track. Men, step up, do your job. Do your job. Because God made women that they will submit if that man is submitting himself to Christ. But if that man won't submit to Christ, it's hard for that woman to submit. She will, but it's hard. Make her life as easy as possible. You chose her, take care of her. You chose him, respect him. You chose to have those children, put the Word of God in their hearts. Why? Because God wants them back. Let's have a word of prayer. Great God and Father in heaven, you're so good to us. And for this, we are eternally grateful and thankful. We live in a time, Father, and you know all times, so we're not teaching you and telling you nothing you don't know. But we live in times where the home is in disarray. It's in shambles. Father, help us as the Lord's church, as your son's church, to do our part in being the people that we know we need to be and not settle for our homes being in disarray, but settle for our homes being the way that you will have them to be content with that. Father, help us. Help us as grandparents to do our part in helping our children. And we pray our children will lean upon the wisdom that we have and the experiences that we have, and that we don't overstep our boundaries. Pray to Father that you'll bless our families here. We're so thankful for them. We love them, and we're thankful that you're drawing more and more families to our fold here at Ninth and Main. We're thankful for that. Pray to Father that this will be an environment, and always an environment, that spiritual growth will ensue. We love your son. We love his word. We pray, dear Father, that it will always have the final authority in our lives. And Father, we pray that as men, that we will lead our children and our families as close to heaven as humanly possible. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe you're not a child of God. We want to study with you. We want to open up the Word of God with you. And we want the Word of God to do the teaching. But we must offer this invitation. The invitation is for you to be part of the family of God. And remember, the Godhead always does what's best for one another. And so God came up with this great plan, and Jesus executed it, and the Holy Spirit came and he brought it forth, and the whole apostles preached it, and we have it in writing. And that plan is that the gospel be preached. The death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ, the kingdom of God, Acts 8:12. You have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of sins. God will do something amazing in your life. You can't even imagine what God can do for you and with you if you're immersed into Christ for the remission of your sins. Be faithful even unto death, and God will do something through his Son. He will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord." Maybe a child of God, and well, you just haven't been doing your part in the home. Maybe you're single and you haven't been doing your part to stay holy. Let's make that right. Don't fall to the world's system of doing things. Stay with the wisdom of God. And you stay within those boundaries, God will protect you. You get outside of those boundaries, Satan has you. The fence belongs to Satan. Get off of it. Stay with God. If you need special prayer, we will pray for you. One of the elders will be down here, and we will acknowledge you and hear what you have to say. And we will do our job in praying for you, because you deserve that. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.